I had a laptop, I could hear it.
Unfortunately, tonight, our laptop that we've been using to encode the stream is currently fairly well dead. And so we've been scrambling trying to set up a new laptop to do the encoding, and I'm not totally sure how it's going to actually sound for people, so hopefully this is sounding okay. If not, I would like someone to send me a message on IRC, because unfortunately I have no way of listening to it in this room. And now, off to Elliot.
Hi, I'm Elliot Geisinger, your Currents columnist, and I'll be your MC for tonight. Joining me today are Head of News Courtney Stone and Ed's Curator Philip Bloom. Also joining us today, I didn't know about is the president of the company, Michael Tidwell. Welcome, and thank you for sitting in on this round table.
Hold on a second.
More technical difficulties
are on. Queen is saying that it is not sounding okay, and I'm going to ask them.
It's like people go, the site's broken. What does that mean? Does that mean Index doesn't work? Index isn't loading? The web server isn't working? Or the machine is missing?
Are you playing your little
not
right
now? Not putting it on as a developer or bug tester.
No, we're still playing. It's just
okay.
It's kind of a bit of static, but it's okay.
Apparently we're...
Yeah, I mean, we're just... This is just not a good day for this for us.
We just have some technical difficulties right now.
Hopefully we'll be able to work it out.
This is the intermission time before we start broadcasting. I know
you
can hear us, but this is really an intermission time. You should get some snacks because it's going to be a good night.
Okay, I think
so
we're done.
It sounds like... It looks like it's all right.
Yeah.
Or
okay,
not.
I feel better now.
What'd you do?
Not much.
It just kind of cleared itself up.
Okay.
I guess for our first topic, the biggest thing that we got to sample today was the new Legend of Zelda game.
You guys got through the wall of flesh.
Courtney and I got to play the game after a 3-hour wait, but we did get free t-shirts at the end. And
I got to play after a...
Of course, Michael didn't have to wait at all. He just walked right up and got to play. So we're going to talk about that right off the bat. What do you all have to say about Zelda?
I had a great time playing it. I kind of got chased away from the first section by a booth worker who probably thought I'd been trying to play two sessions instead of just one. The first thing I got to do was play a boss battle. This guy was trying to get through it, and he couldn't finish it, so he tossed the controller to me, and I beat it in 5 rounds. It's where, I don't know if any of our listeners may remember, but in the second Legend of Zelda game on the NES, there was a dungeon where the final boss was a knight on horseback who charged you, and you had to jump up and downward stab on his head
back
to knock him off. This is basically what it is. You're confronted by a moblin riding a large pig, and you basically play chicken with each other. You charge across this long bridge, and you meet in the middle, and he will match you. If you try to move to the side, he will match your move. So right as you get near him, you don't let him hit you because he'll knock you off opponent and over the side of the bridge. And you have to just move at the last minute. And if you have your sword drawn, you can cut him as you run by. And this guy was having a lot of trouble with dodging and getting out of the way at the last minute. So when I picked it up, I played with it for a little while and adjusted to it, and I kept cutting him down with my sword and eventually sent him flying over the side of the bridge, which was really great. And then it ends with Epona rearing up on her hind legs, and Link raises his sword, and the sun is shining right behind them. It's really impressive.
It looks really nice.
It looks very, very nice. And then I tried to start the village sequence, which begins with a mini game that you have to herd goats while you're riding Epona. You have to hit a button to do a whoop, to make a loud yee-haw noise or whatever to scare the goats. And then you have to use Epona to cut around to the side of the goats to steer them toward the barn door and to get them into the barn. And after that, I was going to explore the village, and that's when the booth worker came up and told me to move on. And I passed the controller to the next guy. And then you go into another chamber, which is more set up more like a dungeon. And I got to play through the forest dungeon a bit, which was interesting. Just a lot of climbing walls, and you get the boomerang and there's a door that's powered by a fan, so you have to hit the fan blades with the boomerang to make the door open. And it involves rescuing monkeys that are trapped within the dungeon, and the monkeys will help you out. Yes, anybody, if they can remember in Link to the Past, in the first dungeon in the Dark World, there's a monkey that if you pay it some money, it will open the door for you.
Kiki the monkey.
Kiki the monkey, yes. Kiki is back in a certain form. And there are actually two monkeys that I rescued. The first one was being harassed by a white monkey with a very large red butt. And he turns around and he spanks his butt to mock you. But I rescued
by baboon.
Yeah, basically a big white baboon. And I rescued this first monkey, and then he helped me. If you've seen the video on the website, the monkey grabs the rope with his back legs and helps you by grabbing your hands and helping you swing across to ledges that you can't reach. I got to do that and went and saved one of his friends and fought with some of the lizards that showed up at the time, the lizard men. And there's also a very interesting aspect they've added to the battle system. Instead of just doing the timed combo attacks where you're hacking at the enemy, if you knock them flat on their back, the A button changes into a command that says finish. And when you hit it, you'll do a finishing move, which Link jumps up and takes his sword, and he stabs it right down in the middle of it. And does a really, really nice finishing move. It's very flashy, and it's a lot of fun. And the first time I did it, I probably scared everybody around me because I said, "Sweet!" So I got really excited when I did that because it's all flash, but it's a lot of fun.
It's Link's downstab.
Yeah, it's downstab from... It's downstab from the Adventure of Link, and it was really nice to have a good finishing move like that. It kind of reminded me of Kingdom Hearts 2 yesterday, which has a similar finishing move, which perhaps I'll just talk about that.
Oh, let's see.
Any other experiences that...
I also did the forest.
Yes.
Between Chris and I, we actually went through the rest of the forest and fought the boss. And the boss was fun because you got to... When you're standing there holding a boomerang and you're trying to target something, you don't just get to stand there and wait. You know, if you take too long, you actually get hit. So, you know, there's actually some challenge. But the most fun I had was the actual horse riding and combat, which it's pure chaos. I mean, it's you and your horse, and I could have sworn there was like 15 of these moblins running around, and I'm trying to find the boss with the big flag who has some girl or something.
He has a girl tied to the front of it. Mm-hmm.
And you only have to hit him once, but you every time you get close, he runs off and six of his friends come and knock you around. And so it was really a lot of fun.
Yeah, I watched somebody play through that battle. It was very hectic.
Half the time, you're hitting one guy and getting cross-hit by two guys, and you're just like, okay, hi.
I saw a guy get knocked off a Pona, and he was trying to fight.
Knocked off too.
He was trying to fight on foot.
I don't know what happened, but three of them ran in front of me. Opponent stopped, kicked me off, and then I had to go and chase her. And I'm like, wait a minute. I kind of need that horse.
But actually a real horse, they're like, yeah, I'm being attacked. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, Opponent gets upset if there are things that are charging at her, it seems. She got kind of upset with me when I was trying to do the goat herding thing, because getting too close to the walls, it was scaring her and stuff.
One of the best strategies, though, was to jump things. Because their pigs don't jump. So I was running from three things, and I was chasing the boss, and the boss jumped over the fence, and I jumped over the fence. All three moblins smack and rolled off onto the other side of the fence. They're all going, ugh. And you're just like,
great.
Come back.
That's great.
So I started doing little maneuvers where I would shake the horse towards the fence and then veer off, and you just crash right into the side of the fence. It was awesome.
That is really neat.
Yeah, they didn't get up and they'd like stagger, like, oh, I fell off.
What was that?
That's awesome.
So it sounds like all around everyone pretty much enjoyed Zelda quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It was a...
No wolf.
Yeah, there was no wolf, though.
Except for the
animatronic.
The wolf puppet. Yeah, they had a wolf puppet that would kind of lean over the wall and would get down and snarl in people's faces. Everybody was laughing. Nobody was scared. Everybody was laughing, and they'd reach up and touch it on the nose and stuff. But it was a nice feature, you know, because they were trying to scare people. They had a huge animatronic Stalfos. That's the only thing that kind of spooked me, is you come around a corner in the dungeon and you turn and look to your side, and there are bars there, but there's a Stalfos right back there, and it's glowing green.
You
it's
have
waving
to say that again,
because
that's sort of Shakespeare. Nintendo, it's scaring people.
Yeah. Well, it was. See, I didn't get caught off by the Stoffos because Link had walked up and was like trying to, you know, scare it with him, you know, with the shield and the sword, kind of shaking at him. I was like, what are you doing? I look around and go, oh, that's cool. But, you know, he's trying to make all mean and stuff, so it was kind of funny.
But I liked how they set up the inside of that curtained area back there. They had it all decorated to look like a forest. They had the fake trees and the fake ferns and light streaming down. And there was one point where when you leave the forest area, they've got light shining on the carpet so that it looks like rippling water and that there are fish swimming in the water. You had to walk through it.
That was active. If you stepped on it, the bridge started falling. So you were supposed to run across. And if you step on it without the bridge, you get little puddles.
Yeah.
Oh, neat. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it was actually a censored...
Wow. I didn't notice that. I just kind of walked across it. I thought I heard splashing, but I didn't.
I think it's the same one, like, out in the concourse. There's that Jedi lightning trick.
Oh, I didn't try that.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. It felt like the same when I walked on it.
That's neat. I'm not waiting in line another 3 hours to go back and see it, though. That really took too long, but... It was nice. Elliot and I just amused ourselves by taking pictures of each other and talking and watching all the stupid people try to cut in line behind
us. Yeah, there was quite a few.
Yeah, I had people try to cut in line behind me. Had another girl try to get ahead of me.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you were on your toes for that.
Yeah. I had to tell one guy to go to the back of the line because he was sneaking in when one of the booth attendants wasn't looking.
Something else that we all went to, or that some of us went to go see, was the
Oh, by Nanto, and there's like nobody there. Man.
You'll have to ask Clax. Clax took a lot more pictures than I did.
No, we took some.
I'm lazy. I don't take out my camera.
I took some pictures of the Nintendo booth today, particularly while the Zelda film was running. I got some shots of that.
My camera has fired three frames. I don't even know what they are of. There's three frames of the Nintendo press conference that was a few days ago.
I took some shots of the Kingdom Hearts Sora statue yesterday at Square Enix. I actually took a picture of the Square Enix booth, and while I was holding my camera up and getting just the big overall thing, after I took the picture, I looked in the viewfinder, the little frame, and there's a guy walking toward me in the picture, and when I pull the camera down, that same guy comes right up to me, and he's working for Square Enix, and he says something about taking pictures. He doesn't want me taking pictures. And I said, oh, I just took a picture of the booth, and you're in it. And I flipped it around and showed him his face is right there in the middle of it. They get really touchy about you taking pictures of their stuff.
I was trying early on to take some of Dragon Quest VIII.
So you can't take pictures of the actual games, but they don't mind if you take pictures of their statues or of their slimes or of their big logo or whatever, but they do come over to make sure that you're taking just that and that you're not getting too close to any of the games, which there are a lot of people that will put camera phones in front of you and snap pictures while you're trying to play. I stopped a guy from taking a picture of me while I was playing Kingdom Hearts 2. He stuck the camera next to me, and I told him not to. He didn't understand why, and I told him, they just get really angry, so don't do it.
Zelda, they did it a lot.
Nice, though. It kind of disappoints me that they're still making some of the same story restrictions that they did in the first one.
In Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah,
you mentioned that in your impression that you didn't like how they altered Mulan's story.
Well, no, it's not how they altered. I like them to alter. I like them to use the creativity. They have a lot of good writers there. When you see them getting outside of the this is a Disney storyline locked in, they really shine and they really make a nice story. The end of Kingdom Hearts 1, I have to admit, I think that's the best part of it. As soon as you get into the Beast. What they did with Beast was great.
Yeah.
You take Beast, they said, okay, the Heartless are there, the Heartless is it. How is he reacting to this? Mm-hmm. And they made something that was really intriguing. When they do that, they do a really good job. Yeah.
They're going to expand on the Beast thing in this one, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. They're doing an entire Beauty and the Beast world.
I just hope that they do more and more of that and less of what they did at the end of Mulan, which was, again, wait a second, we have this script, we must put it here.
Yeah.
Whether it fits or not, this script must play.
I thought it worked. It was a very quick way of getting that script done, but I thought it worked. So, I thought it worked. I didn't have a problem with it, but yeah, it was kind of. It did kind of seem like that. Now that you mention it, it did kind of seem like that. But I guess we should discuss a little bit more about Kingdom Hearts 2, about how it felt to play. What scenario did you play? Which one did you choose? Just Mulan?
Got through Mulan.
Okay.
Set back on it. The battle system that they did, again, very nice, very fluid like the first one.
Oh.
Huh?
Oh, well.
Yeah. Very, very nice and fluid like the first one. I like the additions. I was surprised not seeing a Strutman. Did you get one to pop up? Is there one in the game?
Getting what to pop up?
A pause menu.
Oh, a pause menu?
I paused the game, but I never saw a menu pop up. I think everything's controllable there in actual, like, in that little mini menu in the corner.
Hmm.
It was just a demo, though, so maybe they just didn't.
Maybe we'll have
it
later.
Well, yeah. I played, I finished someone else had started the Mulan scenario and just dropped it. And I picked it up and started playing through that, and I finished that. I actually did the scene, you know, where the avalanche and everything, which was nice.
Hung's bit was really there. And I was somewhat disappointed that you didn't pick more fearsome Heartless to stand.
Yeah, they had those little bee things, which were annoying, but yeah.
Yeah, they were annoying, but they were not as impressive as a Killa stand. I mean,
yeah.
that scene's one of the better scenes in Mulan, mm-hmm. and it's one of the better, it's a really nice scene seeing it taken there.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting, funny. I give them a lot of credit, because that's a lot of enemy AIs to have on screen at once. Speak up. I'm not loud enough for once.
Okay, for once he's not loud enough.
Anyway, what they did with that scene, they had a lot of enemy AIs on that screen at once, which, from a developer point, that's impressive. I think there could easily have been 500-600 of those things. I don't know how many were there and how many were an optical illusion. I'm certain they were doing optical illusions with the stuff in the back, which was
There's
not...
There's supposed to be a scene later in the game where they are in a valley and there are thousands upon thousands of Heartless swarming on them, and I really would like to see that in action.
They showed that in one of the clips. I watched that. It was like, is that an FMV or is that actual gameplay? Because that's...
It was an FMV. I could tell it was an FMV, but let's see if they make a transition into gameplay there, because that could be interesting.
That could be very interesting. I'm curious how the battle system will adapt. I mean, they've made the battle system a lot more fluid. Sora and his general motion patterns, it's most noticeable in air. If there's one thing that I thought they had a problem with in the battle system before, it was that when he launched off the ground, and I like jumping at that.
Yeah.
Sora was awkward. Sora was very awkward, and it was really, really noticeable.
It was
the flight.
It was the feet. The feet were everywhere when he was in the air. Yeah.
Feet were, but this was particularly much in the flight levels. Like, what the heck are you doing? Just swing it. They're doing like, whoa!
Yeah.
It's going between the legs. It's going everywhere else.
Well, he's also an awkward kid in that game. And in this one, he's clearly more mature. His voice is deeper. He looks taller. He looks older.
I was never able to hear that. It's one problem I've had with all the E3 things. It's like, I know there's probably really nice stuff playing, but I can't hear it.
I was at Sony where there was no line and there was less noise, and I could clearly hear his voice. I could hear the voice acting. You could definitely hear Donald because he's loud and high pitched, but I could hear some of Sora's voice. The other scenario I did was I started the I played the part where you meet up with Auron. And you walk down into a chamber, and there's a locked door, and Sora unlocks it, but just as he does, Cerberus attacks. And Cerberus is bigger and badder and a whole lot meaner in this one, because he's taller. I tried to get on his back. I could not get on his back like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like he was taller, and he's a lot stronger, and he will turn, and he'll hit you with his tail this time. He'll hit you with his tail and back feet.
You could leap on his back and get into him?
I could leap in his back. I think I needed to get up on a step first, but I used to do that all the time. Get up on his back and get right between his three heads and just beat him over the head with the keyblade. Yeah, I did that all the time. Yeah, I couldn't do it this time. This time there's something even better. If you are attacking him from the front, he'll bring the two outside heads inward to crush Sora, and Sora will take his hands and block the heads. And then you get a triangle button command that says jump. You hit that, you'll jump up, and he will stick his keyblade in Cerberus's jaws to prop them open. And then you get another command, and you hit triangle again, and you will leap over. And then you get another, while you're in the air leaping backward, you get another command that says dog paddle. And I thought, ooh, this should be fun. And you hit dog paddle, and he paddles Cerberus. He just starts beating the crud out of Cerberus. And I did that 3 times. It was so fun. I did that 3 times, and Cerberus went down. And they ran, the door was opening, they ran through, and just as Cerberus recovers and starts charging, the door is closing, and Sora and Donald...
The first thing that made me worry after Mulan when I saw that scene, mm-hmm. is that I really hope they're not mimicking the Hercules scene of Cerberus in hell. Which they could have, but I'm...
I can't remember what happens there.
It's a short one, it's just... It's more after that, the big fight with the Titans and subdues Cerberus and rides him in to yell at Hades.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting that scene exactly, but I was worried that they might try and mimic that very highly.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to hear that they're not doing that.
Yeah. Well, this was just a scene with Auron. And there was also some, when you team up with Auron, there's also a command to, a Bushido command, where they stand back to back, and you get those more of those triangle commands, and Auron will start doing his moves like he used to do in Final Fantasy X, which is, it's very nice. It's interesting that he plays in there well. And at one point he does ask Sora if he's in need of a guardian. So that was interesting. But it was good to see Auron in there. I'm excited to see more of those triangle commands come into play in the game and other boss battles, see what they'll do.
It's always nice seeing Auron. If there's one character I thought that in Final Fantasy X, they put a lot of thought behind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the characters range. Some are very likable. Some are less so. But in terms of thought put into it, Auron clearly had a lot of thought and consideration
very,
as a
he's
character.
He's very complex, and yeah, I've really liked him a lot.
His design, there's a lot of Japanese culture history in his design. From anything from the clothes that he's wearing.
Someone on our forums compared him to a Ronin
samurai
that has lost his master.
Someone compared him to that. Up on that a long time ago. I don't remember what I ever did with him. But, yeah. They took a lot of that concept of Japanese culture, a lot of that history, and they put it into it. There's a lot of spark of life in there that is achieved by it.
As much as I liked Kingdom Hearts 2.
We need to move on.
I can go on about that all night
because I was very excited about it. But yes, let's move on.
Well, I just wanted to add to it first. As much as I loved it, and I got to play it, and I liked it a lot, but a lot of the trailers that I've seen and the pictures and screenshots that I've seen kind of make it look like they're recycling a lot of the bosses and a lot of the extra party members that you get, and it kind of worries me a little bit. They have a few new ones like Mulan, but I saw Aladdin and the Cerberus. I fought him again at the E3 demo.
I think at worst, what we can expect is a game that is as good as what we got before with a more polished battle system.
Yeah.
And if that's what we get, there's not a terrible amount of shame. It would be lovely to see them really take the potential of what they got and do stuff with it. They have the talent there to do it. They have the creativity there to do it. They have the system, the technical know-how to make it happen. It would be interesting to see what they come up with at the end. But I think the worst case scenario is really what I put in the impression is that it's going to be more of what we got out of Kingdom Hearts. Which means if you like Kingdom Hearts, odds are really, really high that you're going to like Kingdom Hearts 2.
I would not say that they are recycling. I would say that they are bringing some of the more familiar elements. These are things that are going to make it into a series, because I know SE has kind of batted around the notion of making it into the next flagship series. Look at Final Fantasy. Moogles, Chocobos, Cid, airships, things like that. They're not supposed to recycle. They're just revamped and retooled in every game. And I think that may be what Kingdom Hearts is going for.
I don't know if they can do that so much with Kingdom Hearts without causing troubles because it is a storied series. That said, seeing Cerberus is not unexpected. I would also not be surprised not to see Cerberus and Hades and a sequel to Kingdom Hearts. There's good reason to expect them to show up before. Their storyline element in the originals pushed towards it. I mean, if you ignore the Colosseum even, there is no in-game resolution of that.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to interrupt you for a minute and invite anybody that's in the RPG staff channel and IRC to ask any questions that they would like to have answered, and I'll pop them up here as soon as I
bug
get
us.
Anything.
Ask annoying questions. Yeah. We like to answer annoying questions.
That's what we're here for, but until then, since we're talking about Kingdom Hearts so much, I think we'll just go off to a similar
topic.
And let's talk about, we spent a lot of time at the Square Enix booth today playing games like Dragon Quest VIII and a lot of the mobile games that are coming
Quest
out.
Yes, you go play Square Enix's mobile games and they throw those Before Crisis cell phone screen cleaners at you. Just, here. I kept having to fight off booth attendees who were trying to give me more of them. I don't want any more. I have one. That's sufficient.
Altogether, I think we have
really
like 30.
Yeah. For a cell phone game.
Which
but
one?
At the same time,
Before Crisis.
Yeah. At the same time, none of us are going to be able to get that much on it because it's all in Japanese, because it's very, very story-based. I mean, I know that I didn't play it myself. I looked over Claxer doing it. And during that time, at least 80% of the playtime was staring at text.
Yeah,
there was a lot of text. I can at least
Japanese.
Tell. Adrian helped me.
Yeah, I was fortunate when I went to play it. Mm-hmm. This is it. I brought
Boxwork.
Adrian along with me, fortunate, so she was able to actually translate a lot of the text for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it. The problem is that we just have nothing here in the U.S. besides like the N-Gage, without spending a ton of money that'll be able to play in.
You know what? We shouldn't talk about Before Crisis because all it's going to do is taunt these poor people who aren't going to be able to play it and taunt us who aren't going to ever be able to play this.
It'll eventually
let's
come
move
over.
On to something that's nice that they'll ever be able to see.
There are also a bunch of other games like Front Mission 2080, Mobile
Samurai.
They're
making another Front Mission game.
It's for the mobile phone.
Yeah, you know, then they have the Final Fantasy II on the mobile, which
is exactly
the same game.
Exactly the same thing, yes, because they just started it in Dawn of Souls, and it's the same thing, so I didn't play it very long. They also have Final Fantasy VII Snowboarding, which, according to a booth attendee, is they're teaming up with Verizon to bring that to the United States, it seems. And it's exactly ripped from FF7. Some of the courses looked a little different, but it had the same elements in it. And I thought the controls were a little sloppy, but that's probably because I'm playing on a cell phone that's maybe about 1.5 to 2 inches wide, and my thumbs were not quite fitting in. I'm used to playing with a controller, and I just could not get the hang of playing.
Yeah.
I did so terrible. Normally I get a good score on snowboarding, and this time it got bad and awful, and it was depressing.
It's not your coordination, it's not adaptive, it's a cell phone.
Yes,
there's nothing they can do. Any design they make that's really nice for a cell phone is going to be a crappy game system. You can blend them, and you get something that's crappy at both. It's all they can do. The design philosophies are very far apart.
Cell phones are just not...
Well,
good for gaming, in my opinion.
Not in the U.S. It's like one of the things that Adrian was talking about when she was in Japan. She said was talking about being on the bus and...
Everybody has them.
The only thing you hear is people clicking away on the cell phones playing games. Mm-hmm. And it really has... It's kind of a cultural thing, and...
Well, yes, but weren't some of the cell phones we were using those very cell phones? So we're seeing what their examples is of a good system. And I would still say that's not good.
Yeah, Mike has his silly N-Gage.
If we're being shown what Square Enix considers a good platform to demonstrate Beyond Crisis and everything else in terms of this is playable, that's not very playable.
I don't know. I like the snowboarding. It was fun.
No, but
I wasn't saying that the games are bad.
I was just saying...
So the cell phone as a medium to play them is not very good.
I don't like playing games on the cell phone at all.
I liked Before Crisis though. Yeah.
I liked it. I wanted to know what they were saying.
Yeah.
Adrian translated some of it for me.
She told me those are
members of Avalanche that you're fighting. They're just the nameless lackeys. But
yeah.
I was actually fighting through Avalanche people because they were about to bomb the reactor.
See,
and it was exciting.
I would like to have a, be able to have, you know, Before Crisis on a cell phone, because it would be nice to have a game like that that's, so far from what we've seen, you know, is enjoyable to play, with the exception of maybe just, you know, getting carpal tunnel syndrome from playing it. But it would be nice to be able to have, you know, a good game with you all the time without having to carry a Game Boy or something.
Come on, Game Boy Micro!
Game Boy Micro is going to have the same problem. It's going to cramp up hands all over the place.
I would care, except I always carry my logic to play games with anyway, so...
Yes. Just basically my opinion on that is I want to play Before Crisis really bad, but not on a stinking cell phone.
I don't mind the cell phone.
We should move on to the other good game. Radio Stories, Dragon Quest VIII.
Dragon Quest VIII I played today. I liked it. The voice acting, they actually had headphones there so you could listen to the voice acting, and I liked the voice acting in there. It sounded really good. It didn't sound that forced voice acting. It was very natural, although some of the accents were really silly. But that kind of gave it a kind of a quirky charm, and I liked that.
I would be surprised if a completely serious take of Dragon Quest would be wrong. You cannot... Hori's wit, how he writes, and how he designs, it does not mix well with a straight-faced game. This doesn't mean they don't cover serious topics. Doesn't mean they don't give deep stories. But it's not something that to be done straight-faced.
Yeah, I noticed that right off the bat, that it was not a serious game. That it's very lighthearted.
Of the time period I played, my favorite part was the 5 seconds in. Walking up to a cat and hearing a witty comment. I don't even remember what it was, but it made me laugh. It's like, wit is in. All is well.
Yeah, I got quite a chuckle when... I went into the tavern, and I'm having a conversation with an important NPC, and all of a sudden they're going, there's a monster in the square, you know, everybody runs out. I'm like, oh, I'm going to, they start playing the battle music and everything, oh, I'm going to have to fight a monster. I go into the town square, and it's that king that's been turned into the little troll thing, and everybody's pelting him with rocks. Ew, it looked at me, you know, all that kind of thing. And I just thought, oh, this is a really neat game. I really want to see more of this.
I'd be interested in seeing what happened to the Final Fantasy fans that largely, the ones that have been loudly complaining about being sort of disowned from the Final Fantasy series, with the way that the direction it's going. With the Dragon Quest series moving very quickly to fill that exact area. I mean, it's still a lot more text than they're used to, I suspect. And the style is still distinctly Dragon Quest style. Mm-hmm. But when I look at Final Fantasy XII, Final Fantasy XI, and I look at the older Final Fantasies, and I look at Dragon Quest, and which one is much closer to it, the Dragon Quest is much, much closer to that sort of style. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because Dragon Quest has never changed its style.
Yes, and that's what I love about it.
It's... I mean, you have one series that hasn't evolved, and, you know, good or bad...
It evolves, but it doesn't throw its... Doesn't throw
no,
everything
it doesn't
away.
Evolve. It has stayed the same. It has gotten bigger, but the same basis has always been there. They found what works, and they didn't change it. Final Fantasy has never been about the same thing. Even the first six are completely different. The whole point of Final Fantasy has been experimentation, so you can't compare... a series that is set in stone of what it's going to do, and a series that does everything new every single time.
It wasn't that I was so much comparing. If you take the early ones, yes, they're different, but there's stylisms that are very solidly the same throughout. And there's stylisms...
What is stylism?
Stylistics. How the game is put together. If you take a quintet game, you can notice it because their style markings are all the way through it. You can change the name of it, you can change all the character names, you can change lots of stuff in it. And I would be able to recognize it because their style is through it. There's a style that runs through the SNES versions of the Final Fantasy games that a lot of people liked, and a lot of people have been loudly complaining about for a long time. I suspect that these people will move over there. Because they'll find in Dragon Quest currently, because they don't have the large complaints of the old traditional Dragon Quest menu systems. I've nearly killed Mikkel with the speech.
Hairball.
He's having a hairball.
He's having a hairball moment.
No, I'm sorry, okay? Fox took the headphone, hit himself in the head with it, looked at it and said, why can't I hear anything? And I tried to stifle my laughter and choke.
So it's Fox who killed you.
Yes.
He's not.
Okay, we are seeing Fox attempting to kill Mikkel right now.
Yeah,
I've completely lost my train of thought.
What did you call me?
Huh?
Mikkel?
Yes.
No. Okay.
That's what it's...
It's the new trendy way of pronouncing your name. It's fashionable.
I see.
Sounds European.
Radio stories, so mispronounce at least 10 more times.
Radiator, radiata, rad, rudorita stories.
That
whatever
story,
it is, that story game. That I played.
Radiata.
Really?
That's what I said.
That's how Freddy said it, and I was like, dude, that actually freaking makes sense.
Radiata stories?
Radiata.
So that's the official pronunciation. Okay, radiata stories. We have it. You heard it here.
I really liked style of the
yes.
Delivery.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say I like the gameplay as much or the art style was, but the style they had, the lighthearted, we know we're making a game, we're having fun with it, fun entertaining you. We're here to make something fun that just really flowed from the game.
Right.
That E3 level was awesome to play.
I liked how they had the producer being turned into a goat. And
yeah.
you had the option of saving him or watching the intro, and if you chose the intro, he'd get really depressed. He'd flop over his side, oh, fine then, you know.
If you choose the same, he's like, fine, I'll just sit here and wait. And I'm like, yeah, thanks for helping, dude. I mean,
yeah.
Don't tell me where to go or anything. I wandered around for like 40 minutes, and I was like, where am I supposed to go? I mean, I had a lot of fun playing with the Link system, but other than that, it was like...
I couldn't get the Link system to work.
The Link system is awesome, except for the two defaults they give you completely suck. You need to choose... I was choosing Box, where you take one, it forms a diamond, and you... Whatever you're facing is the like the home plate of the baseball diamond, and as soon as all four get around one monster, they all get exclamation points, you press attack... And all four of them just go nuts on the thing and like 12-15 hit combos until it dies.
Wow.
It was like, woo, that was fun. Let's go do that six more times.
Yeah, that sounds neat.
The other one I liked was Line Link, where I always did this at the start. I would, because, you know, they were on one side of the room and you were on the other, so you would form Line Link and you would press attack and you'd just shoot a wave. This huge wave would go across the room and knock them backwards. And as long as they never got to you, you could just keep shooting the line wave.
That's cool. See, I didn't get to play with any of that. Everybody was disorganized and they ran around hitting on everything.
That's how I played.
And my characters kept complaining. A couple of my characters kept complaining that their attacks weren't working, you know. And of course, that was coming from the little fairy girl and the fairy guy that was very effeminate.
I sort of picked up somewhere in the middle of the dungeon. I was catching the witticism from the statues. The dev team giving their little hints.
Oh.
And the lovely part at the end. Pretty ladies and within.
Yeah, a party and pretty ladies and within. I turned to Elliot and said, yeah, this is where the boss is. Yeah, it was obvious.
Is that what that said? Party and pretty ladies?
Party and pretty ladies wait for you ahead or something like that. There's a sign pointing to a door and you have to bust the lock and you get in and then there's a
boss
that comes out.
And says, bomb. And then I die.
I defeated the boss. A booth employee came over and told me how to cure my characters and I beat the boss.
Potions.
I use potions.
I do have to cure the characters.
You had a cure spell?
Yeah.
Yeah, the elven girl can cure.
I didn't have an elven girl. I had the snooty French guy.
Elven girl.
The knight. And, well, Jack. And, some weird, like...
I think you had the same party I had.
Charlie?
I was going to use items, but I ended up being
stoned.
He's
like a girly guy.
Yeah. Charlie's really, really effeminate. I didn't like him.
And I'm like... None of you people do anything but smack things with their weapons. This is stupid. I want something else. Someone do magic. At this point, I was like, maybe there's no magic. Maybe Lynx is all I get.
I couldn't get the Lynx to work, so.
Yeah. I basically ended up, I was trying to use items. I was like stone in front of the enemies. Like, How do I tell other people to cure me from stone and then
cure
me?
Yeah, if you're stoned or you're frozen, you can't get anybody to help you. You just kind of have to wiggle around until it breaks off.
So I do it. I'm like, oh, he hits me. It's broken off. Then he zaps me again. It's like, oh,
yeah. Yeah. That was irritating how he kept petrifying you and freezing you and everything. It was really irritating. Somehow I managed to beat him. You just have to destroy all the little spheres. Sometimes I managed to beat him and I saved the goat.
Not that AI. I really, it's not missing AI that's somewhat different.
Well,
I wonder if...
You're also missing the key points of the AI. Did you ever notice the second bar you had under your character's health?
Yes.
Yes.
That is where your AI control comes from. You're supposed to open a list, and everything is for... The default is everyone goes nuts. And that's what they all do. They run around, they go nuts, they kill things, they have a good time, they scream at you, you know. You can tell them specifically what to do. You can tell them how to do it. You can say fight defensively, fight offensively, run away. You know, and all these take a little bit of that. But if you get that bar completely full, you can basically, like, do whatever you want with any of them. And, you know, they all become a little more powerful when you tell them to do it. And that was where the key of the allies was.
I was more talking about the enemy AI there.
Oh, they didn't seem to do anything. They seemed to run around and hit me.
I meant the bot. Obviously, I don't expect anything out of enemy AI for random encounters. Yes, sometimes the game will give me something, but I don't expect it. Most of the fights are over in 30 seconds. You can't build an AI that's going to demonstrate anything interesting in 30 seconds. The boss fight, though...
I don't know. They were very good at learning how to break my links. Which, normally, I assumed I make the link, I kill everything, life is good. But if I didn't form the link, they would attack differently than when I did. When I formed the line link, they would specifically come around and hit me from the sides to break my link. And I thought that was very impressive for something where, yeah, like you said, this should take 30 seconds.
Wow.
It really sucks when they break your link because you all fly black and you're all dazed for like 2 seconds. And you're like, oh, this is hard.
Radiata's stories, something to keep an eye on.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, it looks like a very promising title coming out.
Square Enix has a very... Is there anything that was at their booth that was not really nice?
Romancing Saga, I wasn't a big fan of.
Yeah, Elliot didn't like that.
As soon as I saw Freddy play it. As soon as I saw Freddy play it, I'm like, oh my god, that is going to be cool.
Really?
Romancing Saga?
Yeah. It has got a combo system to rival Grandia.
I don't know what it was about. It just kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
How about the fact you couldn't read it?
That was a huge problem. You couldn't read the menu system,
like,
and you didn't know what you were doing.
Here's all your sword attacks, here's all your axe attacks, here's all your rapier attacks, and I'm like, dude, they're all in Japanese.
Right.
Yeah, just pick one. Okay. Not that one, that one sucks.
Oh, you had someone behind you helping you out, basically?
We were on the booth tour, and Freddy's like, oh, yeah, do this, do that, try this. Oh, that was cool. And then we had someone else who, I don't know if he was, like, on the team or something, but he knew everything, and he was showing us, like, the six hit, everybody just pounding on the crap of the thing, and the hit percentage, you know, the damage percentage going from 100 to, like, 190%, and you're just like, ooh, that's really cool. How do you do that?
It's always fun, right?
Yeah.
There's too few games that have included the concept of, you've not only beaten the enemy, but you've really completely and utterly owned them, and we're going to show you how badly you own them. The Valkyrie Profile's usage of that was always so fun. It was joyous going through at the end. It's like, yes, I know you're about to die in one hit, so we're going to do a 4-man super combo just to smash you and see the bar go all the way up.
Yeah, and you got bonuses for doing that.
Oh, yeah. That was the extra fun. Not only did you get to see yourself completely obliterate the enemy, but you were rewarded for being obnoxious.
Blowing stuff up is fun.
Yeah.
Oh, we learned something interesting about Dragon Quest VIII that I did not know.
How was that?
You guys saw the menu?
Yeah.
Where they had the item and the equipment and all that? That is all new for North American version. That's not in the Japanese version.
Wow.
They're completely redoing that interface. As he was saying, because the North Americans need more flashy, more, you know, you see what's going on.
So they did have the traditional interface in the Japanese one?
Mm-hmm. And they added that into the North American version.
Well,
and then they'll release it, I'm sure, as Dragon Quest VIII International or something.
As a person of Square Enix, I love that old traditional thing. On the other hand, on their own notion, it's a good move. More people will like it.
I asked if there was an option not to use it.
you like the old style too?
It's just what I'm used to. We've had seven games like that.
It's odd playing a Dragon Quest and saying, where's my thing in the corner of the screen? I want that there.
Where's the little sound when it pops up?
Yeah. It's like, gee.
Yeah.
How about that slime controller? That was pretty fun to play with.
I used the slime controller today. I did what Adrian told me to do, which is hold it like it's a bowl.
Yeah.
And I held it like a bowl, and it was actually pretty comfortable to play with.
I liked it. I thought it really fit the curves of your hand, especially if you have bigger hands.
It's a neat controller. I would end up, if I ever got one, using it more as a decoration than I would as a controller, because it's just such a cute decoration.
It has a little base that it sits in upside down.
It's such a cute decoration.
I would have trouble bringing it out to actually play with it, because I would much rather see the slime smiling at me than I would see than having it in my hands. But it was nice. It was usable.
I don't know. I have six slimes. So I'd use it as a controller.
Moving on from this very, very long topic that all this time that we spent on Square Enix stuff.
Let me say a different company. We'll bite them apart.
Blizzard.
Huh?
I understand that Michael saw some things from Blizzard. No?
I was at the Blizzard meeting.
Who went to Blizzard?
I was at Blizzard, not at their meeting, but Andrew, I went around there with
Andrew
Chris.
Andrew and Chris went to Blizzard.
All right. Yes. Thank you, whoever said Blizzard.
I don't know. They said they showed them World of Warcraft and a little bit, but nothing really.
World of Warcraft?
Nothing really, you know, groundbreaking.
Anything new? Nothing? No new games?
Nothing.
We saw Jonas. We heard some introductions, I guess, but that's not an RPG.
All right.
Moving on.
Moving on to the next topic. Much quicker than expected.
Oh, another thing. You guys have talked about voice acting.
Huh?
It's very hard to be impressed by voice acting when you start the day off listening to Patrick Stewart.
He was in Oblivion, yeah.
Wow.
Patrick Stewart.
He's the Emperor in Oblivion. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, dude, that's Jean-Luc. And they're like, yeah, that's
right.
Patrick Stewart. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's a good start for a star VA cast.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's such a nice voice.
In other words, the general consensus here from people who have seen it is if you have a computer that's conceivably capable of running Oblivion,
Screw it. It'll be cheaper to buy the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Because I went, you know, let me think. It's probably going to cost like $1,000 to build a computer or $300 to buy a 360. Or maybe it'll cost $360.
One way or another, Oblivion is looking to be a game not to miss.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of the trailer Courtney and I saw.
Yeah, we stopped and saw that. Very nice.
It looked really, really good.
I generally, I don't have anything that is capable of running it yet.
Considering it's not out yet.
It's something that's way too good for something I can run.
And what I really liked, Chris and I went to the, Chris is on the site. We went to the private showing, and, you know, they were saying, yeah, this is really amazing graphics and blah, blah, and here's all the stuff, but this is not what makes the game fun. And he's sitting there in the prison cell, and he's, like, just tossing bones around and stuff. And, you know, later on he gets to the point where, you know, now you're going to be stealthy, and he sneaks around this goblin cave, and, like, oh, you can see they've set a trap. And he, like, waves, you know, an apple across the room, and it sets off the trap and smashes the goblins in the head. And you're just like, this is awesome, you know? It's not just go and hack and slash. They actually put a lot of thought into the puzzles. And it's like, I think I'm going to have to play this game, and it's not even close to being out yet.
I just have a request from some people here that all the men here should speak up a little more, because it's kind of hard to hear, and enunciate, according to...
Am I loud enough?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. I'm not enunciating, I can't do that.
So,
don't do that either.
Did you want you to speak in accents?
Okay.
Yeah,
see the little spikes when he laughs? Yeah.
It's a seismograph of your voice.
Hello! Yeah, that's like pretty good. Wow, we are such geeks.
We're watching the little graph of the poison good, like having more fun with that than we are with the actual conversation.
Okay.
That's so you guys turn around.
It's like, dang, what am I looking at? This is hot!
Ask us questions and we will sit there and laugh at that all night.
Yes, please, quick.
I just like to remind the visitors to the RP Gamer IRC room that they can ask questions at any time and we will answer them.
They don't have to be on the current topic.
Yeah, they can be about anything that you want to know about
E3. We've covered most of E3.
Right.
If there's something there, we have seen it.
There's only one day left, so we've seen a lot.
Well, we've seen it all. We're going to go and mock things that we've already seen tomorrow.
So until you, and while you're thinking up those questions, we'll go to our next topic, which is imaginary numbers, a company that's developing a massively...
No, they're imaginary. Did you listen?
They're releasing a strategy online RPG, but they insist it's not an MMO, called Tactica Online, and Courtney and I were fortunate enough to talk to the developers of the game and hear about what they had to say. He didn't really say. He said that there's no servers, so everybody can just kind of play at once. I asked him how many people do a server, and he said it's just one big world.
Well, they have to do something.
I'm sorry, what was the title?
Tactica Online.
Tactica.
Yes.
It's a tactics game. He didn't want to call it an MMO.
I hope so.
It's an online real-time strategy.
He didn't
want to
call it an MMO. But then he turned around and said the towns are like MMOs because you have a bunch of people wandering around.
Yeah.
But they're doing things like instances, dungeons, where you find a person to battle with and you go into a dungeon together and it's just you and the dungeon.
Instances without having a server?
How can you have a tactical MMO? I mean, the whole point of MMO has been real-time.
One person controls a squad.
And it's turn-based, so it's not really MMO.
See turn-based MMOs.
You don't control just one person, you control a whole squad.
You always want to be someone else's thug. Here, you go over there. I don't want to. He looks mean. Why don't you go over there, and I'll go over here.
That's why you control your own squad. Every person has their own squad. One thing that interests me is that it's supposed to be based on history. I asked him what time period it was. He said it's Da Vinci's Renaissance Italy is what it is. Which sounded interesting because there's a lot of nobles that are feuding in Italy at the time, so it sounded like it could be very interesting with it being based on history. It also has to do. He said it has to do with it's kind of alternate history because it has to do with factions of magic and religion and science at conflict with each other.
Yes. You can always take what's already an interesting area of history, just add in magic. It's so much better.
And make it just yeah.
They mentioned that it'll have such events as the invasion of the Holy Roman Empire.
Yeah, which I don't remember the Holy Roman Empire from being invaded, but that's not my area of interest in history, so I wouldn't dare to try to correct it.
I don't know.
But he said that the Spanish Inquisition plays a role in the game.
What time period? The witches?
1400s. Yes.
Early Renaissance.
History's boring.
History is not boring.
History is like the thing in school where you go to and say, why do I have to take this? Oh, wait, it's required.
That's because you haven't ever really experienced exciting history like I have.
No, somehow I look towards the future, not the past.
History is the only class I've ever had where I have teachers throw the books in the garbage and start lecturing just off the paper.
That's
you
awesome.
Don't get that fun stuff in other classes.
Yeah, it's interesting.
No, because if you throw the math book in the garbage, you just look at the teacher, and the teacher looks at you and goes, all right, go home.
Now, the math teachers would pull out the soccer balls. They wouldn't throw out the books. They'd just pull out the soccer balls and be delivering the math things by kicking up the soccer balls. They were interesting stories.
What kind of school did you go to?
I don't think anyone ever thought of soccer ball and calculus in the same sentence.
It was soccer ball and algebra, too. Calculus and poker. Yes.
Did you graduate?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Apparently, because you can play poker and calculus. Damn, I went to old school.
So, imaginary numbers, right?
How did we get from imaginary numbers to this crap?
Tactica Online.
Well, it was
I'm
bad.
Kidding you. I'm a
Thank
living
you,
distortion of conversation. Do we really want to talk about these people?
What are we talking about?
Tactica Online, the online real-time...
Do you guys want to talk about these people?
See, the problem is I don't know anything, so I'm going
to... Yeah, Courtney and I went to the thing.
Was there anything interesting about them? Do you want to let us know?
Basically, the game, it kind of, like she said, it plays like an MMO, and then when your squad challenges another squad... We didn't get to play it. When your squad challenges another squad, you get taken to a separate map.
Something that you played.
And then,
so we watched him rotate the camera several times.
We were watching him play it, and he was describing it to us.
The camera's nice, though. The camera completely turns and gets every angle close and far, so you can see around all the corners and stuff. So.
Wow. Two years ago,
that would have been really cool. I can't remember the last game that had a genuinely restricted camera.
Besides Mario Sunshine?
I never played Mario Sunshine.
Well, there you go.
I went by that version. Ooh.
What other GameCube game had a crappy camera? Oh, Spyro. Well, Spyro had a bad frame rate. Spyro was just bad.
Okay, back on to RPGs.
Okay, next topic, I guess, after imaginary numbers, Mythic Entertainment, and anybody...
No one's asking questions?
No, not right now. I keep begging and begging for questions.
Are people actually listening to us?
Please, 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 ask questions.
Last time I looked,
that's about average. They're just bored. They're sleepy. Mythic was fun.
Mythic, how'd that go?
Oh, that was fun. They showed us the new expansion for Dark Age of Camelot.
Oh, right.
They're going to have horses.
Okay.
Something that they've said has been requested for 3+ years or something. It was really nice because, for once, people understand that not everyone is going to rush out and buy your expansion. You can get a horse without the expansion.
Right.
But if you want a detailed, faster horse, then you need the expansion, which I thought that was kind of cool because if you just want to go faster, then you don't have to shell out $30 or whatever. They're also basically doing what 11 calls limit points. They're going to do, once you reach 50, instead of your experience is worthless, you're going to move it towards advancing your character statistically. Instead of, they weren't, so.
Okay.
And then that was about a 10-minute presentation. So it was pretty short. We didn't get to try anything out or anything.
Okay.
And then we really got into Imperator, which is their next game. And I went to Fairfax just last month, and even the change from last month to this month was quite substantial. They almost completely redid the Terra Nova, the original, your starting point. They almost completely redid that in the short 1 month.
Wow.
In fact, it was fun because when we played in the event, it was... go out, shoot things, something might aggro you, but not really. You know, maybe if you do this mission and you do it badly, something will come over and shoot you, but you'll have plenty of time to turn and shoot. And it was great to watch at E3 that Chris would come in within 3 minutes, he was dead.
Whoa.
I was like, sweet!
Wow. You killed Chris.
Hey, Chris is dead! So I was like, wow. And I was like, well, maybe Chris just, isn't that good at this game. Some wording like that. And so the developer comes and he shows on. He's dead in 3 minutes. And I'm like, this rocks.
This was Kung dying within 3 minutes.
Well, he got ambushed, which was nice because he went and he was just wandering off. And he's like, yeah, I have to do this mission. And you're supposed to go over here, but let's go over here first. And I'm like, okay, we went there before last month. It wasn't that big of a deal. And he walks in, and this one guy starts shooting him, and three guys walk behind him and hit him in the back of the head and killed him. And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, I guess they changed that. I'm like, yeah, I guess so, because last time we shot all four of them, and they kind of knew where we were.
That's down.
What?
That's down. The round table's down.
Well, it still shows us being connected.
Ooh, hey, if you hear us, message on IRC. It said that you actually still hear us.
And
this is weird. Hold on.
Now wait 30 seconds for it to cycle through. Hi, Chris.
We're still on.
I was dying.
Apparently, I'm just interrupting.
We're still on the air, just so everyone is aware.
Well, at least fortunately, the backup recording is going, so we're not losing anything, but no one's able
to
hear us.
You might as well talk about what you thought of Imperator while you're here.
Imperator was fun. Is that what
How many
talking
times
about?
Did you
yes.
die?
Yes.
How many times did I die in Imperator?
Yeah.
Twice, just when I was stupid. It wasn't. Once I got the hang of it, it wasn't very hard. I was able to get some cool combos going for my gunner character I was playing. It was very mission-based, very soloable. I just went out, I camped a couple guys, did a little sneaky-sneaky, got to my mission objective, then ran back to base and got my experience points.
I was freezing you because the developer actually died faster than you did.
Oh.
Probably because he actually didn't wait 3 minutes before going out the front door, but, you know.
That's funny.
I see.
But yeah,
he patience,
would,
you know, not rushing in and getting swarmed. You can handle one character very... You can handle one enemy really well, even if, like, you were totally, like, doing it the wrong way. But as soon as there was two, you were just...
Yeah, that would happen. He stuck him behind him and killed him, and we thought that was all very funny. The best thing about Imperator is it's the first MMO I've seen where they say the shortest amount of time you need to spend on it in one session is 15 minutes.
Wow.
You can do something to progress your character in 15 minutes by yourself through the entire game. They want people to be able to, like, he's like, even if you sit down for 15 minutes in your lunch hour once a day, every day, you know, you will still progress quite far through this game.
I applaud that philosophy.
Me too. I'm tired of 6 hours dedicated to one thing.
Looking for a party.
World of Warcraft kind of already did that.
World of Warcraft has that exact same problem with the end game. I know...
Well, I thought the problem with the end game was that there was nothing to do.
No, no, there's stuff to do. There's plenty to do for these people. But all of the stuff that they have to do is in the many hours category. It's in the, we need to, and if you want to do something and actually have it be productive, you're talking, we need to find a 10-hour block. You don't.
That's
you
not
you
even Final Fantasy 11 has
yeah.
that sort of issue.
You can't. The people who are playing like you
okay,
take
well,
people
actually,
who are playing 10 hours. You play people who are playing a 10-hour block.
Your
people who are 10-hour
no,
block would be
World
much more productive.
That was an E3.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. See, so shut up.
But so was Moo Online, and
so was
many other games that have been out for many years.
Oh yes, boss battles.
Yes.
Apparently, too. Apparently, someone finally beat another boss as we were getting ready to go up.
Evil Oscar went down!
So
two bosses are down.
Out of six.
Tenzin is still undefeated. Maybe we can fix that in the morning.
Yeah, we're going to
try.
We're going to give
RP
it a shot.
Gamer, these four RP I Gamer people should be trying to give that a try. And we'll let you know how that goes.
Well, we'll gloat about our motherboards.
Yeah,
we
probably
it.
Will.
Yeah. I have a request from the RP Gamer chat room. Did anybody... know anything about Atelier Iris, Eternal
he
Mana?
Know about it.
It delayed, 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 delayed.
Did anybody play it? Is it
it's not,
not,
there.
Not playable?
Just saw a movie of it.
Just
they
a video.
Are
Roku has played it.
Yeah.
About Roku.
What's your impressions of the video? I guess.
I didn't really watch the video because once you stop drooling over Magna Carta, it was
Magna Carta does look quite beautiful.
Magna Carta's hot.
I didn't pay attention to Atelier Iris because. First of all, our reviewer says he's almost done or is done.
Okay.
Second of all, it's only a month away, and I was having way too much fun with Makai Kingdom. The
yeah.
video, if... I mean, I know it was there because I did see it, you know, like, flash by. You know, I mean, it didn't really pull me away from anything like
that. They're supposed to put that up today, because I don't remember seeing that yesterday.
It's a long rotated video.
I think that entire movie
of trailers is like over 20 minutes.
Oh. Yeah. That's what they're showing?
Playing on the three screens? Yeah.
Okay, that's what we saw when we sat down with Atlas. It was like, yeah, we have everything in one pot. We'll just fast forward to the parts you actually are interested in.
Yeah, so they probably fast forward through Iris since.
They did for us. I mean, I would have been interested in seeing it, but hey, seeing the new stuff first, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, especially, you know, they don't know how long their power is going to work.
Yeah. It was true, that was true.
Hurry, hurry, hurry!
We have another topic request from the chat room to talk about the DS's wireless capabilities. I don't know if anyone managed...
I played Mario Kart.
Yeah,
oh,
he
awesome.
Did!
I played
great.
Mario Kart.
Did you own everyone in it?
No, I came in second. When I went to go play it, I played with two other people from Advanced Media Network, and plus one person in Seattle. And we had, yeah, well, she was basically there for, they had Mario Kart DS, and then they had Animal Crossing DS, both playing with Wi-Fi, and they also had people for Mario Kart DS, they had a crew of people in Seattle that were playing with people on the floor, and then for Animal Crossing, they had people in New York, or people in New York playing as well. And
any noticeable lag?
Not that I noticed, other than I did see when I first got there, since I went there, that was the first place I actually went this morning, when they were first getting things set up, they had some issues getting the Seattle person connected, but they were able to fix that within a couple of minutes.
Maybe she was sleeping.
No, but I thought it was kind of funny because she was motioning to the sky seat behind her, but it was a picture.
She's a game counselor or something, or
but and I feel really embarrassed because I am just totally blanking on the name of the guy, but the guy who does the voice acting for Mario in any of the new games.
I saw him there today. He cut in line next to Elliot and I, trying to get in back to the booth. You said excuse me or something like that. And Elliot looked up and just had the surprise at his voice, and I said, "Yeah, that's the guy that does Mario's voice." And
Unless I'm mistaken, he was the guy that was in New York.
Oh, really?
For a while.
Are you sure?
Early this morning.
Weird.
I saw him there today.
Either that or they're screwing with us.
I don't know, but I saw that guy there today.
And he said, like, excuse me, in his, like, really high-pitched Mario-sounding voice. That's cool.
Pretty sure it was that guy, because I recognized him from last year.
Yeah.
So all you need to create a path is go, it's me, Mario! And they'll, like,
oh my gosh.
It's like
partying
the geek sea.
Yeah.
So that would not create a path. That would ensure that they would all swarm you.
Yeah. I didn't play Animal Crossing, but when I played Mario Kart, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I mean, they had a screen set up so that and cameras so that we could see each other, and as far as I could. I didn't notice any lag, but I still lost, so I guess I could just blame it on that.
Yeah, the Seattle person was cheating. They had no lag.
The Seattle person lost. Actually, it was Sean.
Sean
won? Sean won.
Sweet.
So that he got a little stylus pen thing.
But it doesn't have a...
you lost,
so
we lost.
But it doesn't have a hard drive in it.
Wow.
So.
Ooh.
But it doesn't have a flash drive in it.
No, but it has a Mario's cart from Mario Kart on top.
Is it like in a floaty?
No.
Oh.
It's like one of those really odd-shaped erasers.
Yes. Any other questions? Or more?
We also, Chris also played with some downloadable content.
Okay.
Sort of. It was really hard to get a connection because I think... Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to do PictoChat or whatever, but there's X number of connections you can have in a room. Well, the downloadable content's the same way. There's X number of connections at once, and, there are probably 50, 60 people swarming this, and each one has 20, so eventually got to play, tabletop tennis or something, air hockey, basically. And that looked like a lot of fun. I think he tried to play Electroplankton, and I don't know if he got it or not, because I was distracted by Fire Emblem. I was like, ooh, killing things, good. What are you doing?
Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem?
I wasn't able to get over there with another wall of flesh between me and it, but...
Well, being the one who goes, the only thing I've played on my Game Boy Advance for the last 5 months is Fire Emblem. For me, it was pure heaven. I'm like, ooh... The only thing I didn't like was, in the other Fire Emblem games, you attack something, and if they die, they fade away. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. In this one, they kind of go, oh, I'm sad, I fell to my knees, my head hits the ground, and then I go away. Okay, that's cute the first, second, third time, but I have to kill 40 things on this screen. Can they just die?
Yeah, for the lack of animation. It saves us much.
It just takes you, oh, I'm dead. Wait. Yeah, I'm dead. Okay. I'm like, the whole battle takes 13 seconds and you die in 20. Come on! You get Ike to just
do a double slash attack and they die, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm wounded. So die! You know, I mean, Fire Emblem is not one where, you know, dying is a rare occurrence. It happens about every other turn.
Yeah.
You know, you have 16 enemies and you kill them in 7 turns, they die a lot. That kind of happens. Make it fast.
We have another question from the IRC chat room. Someone wants to know about World of Mana and if it made any kind of appearance at E3, and I didn't see it at all.
Even in video.
No video, no word.
World of Mana was in our hearts, but not on the floor.
It was in my heart.
Unfortunately, there's no World of Mana.
For Legend of Mana and Unlimited Saga, it was like, okay, World of Mana and Romancing Saga, I'm pretty scared, but now I like Romancing Saga, so I'm okay.
Right.
They need to make another Secret of Mana, like, Mana game.
Yeah.
They're moving further and further towards
Legend of Mana.
They
made Sword of Mana. Go play that.
Yeah, I did play that. And they made it more like Legend of Mana.
They didn't.
Yeah,
Run around smacking weapons. It's fun.
Yes, it is fun. I agree.
And then you play the girl and you can't kill anything, so... I couldn't believe how weird that game was. It's like, you're the guy. And I'm like, dude, this game is easy. Wow. This is awesome. And I'm like... Well, they tell me the girl is a slightly different story, so I'll play the girl. She, like, dies. I'm like, what the heck? So I load it up again, and I'm like, wow, she has no attack, and her magic sucks, and she...
Magic in that game sucks.
Yeah.
That sort of bad at...
So you have an action person and a magic person. The magic person's just like, I suck, just kill me. And then you finally get the guy and say, I'll use the guy, because if I use the girl, I just die some more.
They did not... That game had problems, and it took its creative... It took a lot of creative stuff from Legend of Mana. You could see that when you were playing the game. There was the whole trees coming out. There was lots of stuff that they brought from Legend of Mana over. I would much like to see a spiritual successor to Secret of Mana. A game where it's fit... Where you could fairly have 3 fairly balanced characters, at least, even. And when you look at Sword of Mana, you don't have that. You look at Legend of Mana, you don't have that.
Yeah, but at the same time, the only way to actually play Secret of Mana was to have 3 people playing. Otherwise,
I played it a lot of times through solo.
Yeah, you can, but it was like...
It was fun doing it solo.
It was amazing how easy it was when you actually, you know, I had my siblings. I'm like, okay, you be the... Well, for some reason...
Actually, it was easier without people playing with you because you could use the magic glitch.
No.
Which you can't do with other people there.
No, you can. It's easier with the other people there because you can charge up the big spells. Because what happens is when you're an AI, they run around and they'll cast 1s and 2s and 3s, and you tell them to cast 9s, they'll walk right, stand up next to them like, okay, I'm going to do this. And you're like, okay, dude, you're going to get hit. And, you know, they get about 3.5 and get hit and then start over.
Oh, wait,
so.
You're talking charge attacks?
And magic. You also have to charge up your magic. There was a delay in your magic.
There was a delay in the magic. But the delay in the magic allowed you... You're talking about following up spells, not the glitch that let you stack them.
Right.
You could stack low-level magic spells up to 9999.
Yeah,
but
no.
And enemies could not move after the first spell animation.
Yeah.
They just got stuck. You couldn't do that with Multiplet, because that character that the person was controlling would be frozen during the spell animation. The only reason you could do it was because your main character wasn't frozen, and you could, through your main character's menu, access the menu to cast the spell again.
Mm-hmm.
It was a glitch. It wasn't intended to be there.
I never played it that way, so...
It was a neat glitch, but...
What?
Cheater.
Yeah, you cheater.
Did you
also sit there and attack and go, okay, I'm going to hit you with a rock, and then I'm going to heal, and hit you with a rock, and then I'm going to heal, I mean...
You did that game with a broken arm. When you played the game through Space Hunter, you know every glitch that is in the game.
Arm doesn't stop you from playing the game.
Huh?
You don't need to bend your arm to play games. Just play over here.
You need 2 hands.
You have 2 hands.
No. If this entire hand is in a cast, you can't exactly move it to press buttons.
You can play FF8 with a rubber band. Just put it on the controller, walk off, go to sleep, come back. Hey, look, I drew everything. Now I can play. Play that with one hand. Play that with your nose.
Okay. New topic?
I don't see any other... I'm not seeing any other topics here in the IRC channel, so unless anyone else has anything else to say.
Yeah, World of Mana wasn't there.
Pick a random part of West Hall. We'll go over.
Kensha Hall.
Which one's West?
But I never went to Kensha Hall.
We went down to Kensha Hall.
I went to Kensha Hall yesterday.
Actually, I went down to Kensha Hall, but I'm not going to admit I went down to Kensha Hall.
Why? It was fun. I met the Taiwanese with the busty chibi things. That was good.
Busty chibi.
Busty
cheese. If there's something busty, he'll find it.
Dude, it's like, I'm playing with Kai Kingdom. First thing's a healer. I'm like, she's got fresh, she's in.
I can't believe I work here.
I can't believe it's Thursday.
You realize
that my wife listens to this recording? No. Because I do realize that, yes.
A ton of friends have followed that since this year. At least one out of every two comments I've heard on that title have referred to the healer.
Excellent. We're doing a good job. Well, he's like, okay, Chris and I go to play Sun, and I'm like, all right, well, let's see. Guy, girl. Girl doesn't have much clothes on. Done. And what'd you pick, Chris? Girl. Sweet. What'd she do? I don't know. Who cares? She's good to look at. It turns out she's like this double-wielding pistol thing. I'm like, sweet, this is awesome.
Sun was fun if I could, like, figure out where the invisible walls were.
Well?
There's a lot of invisible walls in games that were on the floor.
I started playing Sun for a little bit, and I gave up fairly shortly. Especially when I'm walking around, killing things really easily.
Yeah, kill. Okay.
And then I walk into this one room, and there's this big, like, floating mage.
Yeah, the white sorceress.
And I tried to kill it, and that didn't work.
You have to press one.
What's one do?
Well, as the hunter, she jumps up in the air and fires an array of shots down, which does, like, 60 damage to everything.
Oh, see, I didn't have the controls.
And if you press two...
Or a booth person.
You can heal. Well, the fun thing is if you die, you just press enter. It's a demo. Then you come back to life, and she doesn't. So her life was already... I died with the boss, and I'm like... Oh, dang. He's like, yeah, just press enter. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I press enter, and I'm like, sweet. Okay, you're dead.
I wish I'd done that.
You don't get... I didn't... There was no story. I was like, thanks for playing. Bye. Here's the start screen again. I'm like, no, I'm good.
We actually have another question from the IRC chats.
Yay!
Oh, my God.
You're asking questions. We are confused.
People are still awake, so...
Good job.
Why are you awake?
Anyway,
they want to know which of the consoles we thought had the strongest showing at the show.
None
of them. They're all about equal.
No. Well, let me think. How
even
many
mobile
games?
Phones came
strong. Well,
first of all,
are we talking about overall or just RPGs?
We only care
let's
about
do,
RPGs.
Let's say.
Yeah, we do. But
let's say RPGs for the sake of the site.
Then it's obvious you have to go PlayStation 2.
But you mean just any console, not the new ones? I was thinking the new ones, I guess.
Well, the new ones haven't really done anything.
But the question is, if you consider, what if you balance in Oblivion on the 360, though? Does it become a weight?
No. Because it's like, it's still like 15 to 1. I mean, I'm sorry, Oblivion may be really, really cool, but it's not worth 15 games. And everything's still on the PS2 and the RPG world, so there you go.
You have a PS2, you're very happy. Yeah. I have a PS2, I'm very happy.
I have them all, so I'm hitting on you. I have them all.
It's a good year to be a PS2 owner.
I have everything for the Xbox. I still not managed to find enough games to convince me to buy it.
Jade Empire,
that's still in the top 10 list on Currents. So it's still selling pretty well, and it's been out for a while.
Like all Xbox games, it takes a while for the... people actually own the Xbox to, first of all, remember they have it. And second of all, you know, remember that there's another game besides Halo 2 to play. So I can understand why, you know, the sales go up since they're like, they come out for the Sun and they probably read the gaming magazine and go, oh yes, other game. You might try that. Wait, Halo 2. So, you know, you only have the 50 minutes before their brain actually fully activates and goes back to Halo 2 before you can get an Xbox user to buy something else.
Okay, I haven't even offended that 10% of our readership.
10% of Xboxes? Woo!
That's funny.
And I'm sorry, but I know maybe 10% of Xbox, but I'm sure it's like 9% of them are going, yeah, yeah. Because all I hear about it is like, yeah, next box? Yeah. Can we play Halo 2? Of course. You know, someone comes to my house, you have an Xbox? Sweet. Can we play Halo 2? No. We don't have that game. Why not? I don't buy games. What's up with this? They come to me, you know? I don't buy Halo 2. I don't shoot things. Now they're like, oh, now what do we do? They don't think of any of the other games. It's, oh, you don't know Halo 2? Oh, you can play GameCube. Okay. It's like, wow. I never had anyone go, well, we should play something else on the Xbox.
I have another question here asking about Xenosaga 3 and Dot Hack.
Dot Hack is not there. I went to try and hunt Dot Hack down today.
There's a sticker.
Yeah, there's a sticker.
They flung me at a Digimon game.
I played that a little bit.
Huh?
I'm sorry.
An impression is up on it because they flung at me. I said, I've walked all the way down here. I might as well see what the hell this is.
What do you mean all the way down here? You're two booths from Nintendo.
Yes, but I was coming from the
other
hall.
One of those booths is
No, it's GameSpot.
GameSpot.
I was coming from the other hall.
It's
Nintendo
the front,
was the next stop after it.
Okay, so it's on the way to Nintendo. It's not like you're, like, going all the way to catch you in the back or something.
I did that earlier, hunting Andrew.
You
had the
too.
Audacity to vanish while I was hunting him.
So, Dot Hack, we just got a sticker.
Yeah, and Xenosaga 3? What?
No one said anything about Xenosaga and Namco.
Namco's too busy flaunting all the booth babies to actually remember they have
oh, yeah, all the dancing.
It was exceedingly not present.
Yes.
If it was any less present, they would have had a black hole with a CDS there.
I actually want to know, and maybe I just forgot, but we already know Xenosaga 2 never made it to E3 as a playable.
Okay.
And Xenosaga, I don't think ever made it to E3 as a playable either. This seems to be a really fun trend that Namco likes to do, that we're just going to release Xenosaga because we know it's going to sell. We don't give a dang if anybody actually plays it because, I mean, it's a movie, so.
Did anyone
interesting philosophy.
Did anyone hear anything about Namco across Capcom? Capcom across Namco?
I forgot to damn ask.
No.
Nothing.
I forgot to damn ask them.
They're not going to say anything until they say
I know they're not going to say anything, but I should ask them anyway.
Okay, I know there are lots of heavy objects, and I know that accent can be knocked out of
it. I think that's it. That's all we have for tonight.
Recording early? Woohoo!
I don't have any other questions or topics.
Yeah,
I don't know.
20 minutes early. Considering we're 20 minutes late, that's pretty short.
So.
Yeah, this was not a... It just did not start up very well.
It's just not here a couple of months, is it?
Laptops kept breaking down, and hopefully tomorrow we'll be a lot better and more prepared.
Zach broke it.
Oh, Zach's fault.
It's all Zach's fault.
Yeah.
I have to work on Zach.
That's why he's not emceeing, you know. He's busy getting his body cast done, so, you know.
I had to step in. So if that's it, thanks for listening to our E3 live shoutcast from live from Los Angeles.
Do we do Kingdom Hearts?
Oh, God.
You got Kingdom Hearts to death.
Okay.
Yes, we'll do it to death again.
You were answering the phone.
It was important.
Okay, but you were still answering the phone.
I guess we're not done, so we're just going to...
Then you get live feed of us arguing, which is...
This is a discussion!
And discuss.
We lost the grasp, we can't see how loud we actually are, but you know. Yay! Oh my god.
The grasp?
Okay, you do realize, okay, for those of you listening, the average sleep for the week is about 5 hours a night, so the later we go into these, the worse they get. Except for Mr. Snoraholic over there. Thanks for the last 7 hours of that. I'm actually sitting there lying in bed going, I'm worried he's going to choke to death. It's really disturbing.
And I thought you were the loud snoring dragon.
I look at it this way.
I thought I was too, but the fox beat me.
I look at it this way. It's not like you didn't know it was going to happen.
I know. Even Aaron said, she's like,
You knew he snooed. Snoo? You knew he snored. Why did you stay in the same room with him? And I just, I don't know. I guess I was trying to be nice. That was pretty stupid of me.
You were tricked.
I was just like, well, you know, Ed will stay here, and then Chris will stay here, and I'll stay here, and ASV, and ASV, I'm not staying here. And I'm like, what do you know? Oh, yeah. Crap, it's Mr. I want to know how to spell that so I can make that your new nickname. Okay.
I apologize on behalf of RP Gamer for what you all just had to hear.
That was fun! Okay, like I said, the longer this wait goes, the worse we get. I just think, every single one of us is actually sober.
Yeah. That's very much so.
Except the slime.
Oh, yes. Oh, the yeah. Well, yeah, we got the slime. Oh, God.
You got him trashed.
We didn't even talk about the slime tour.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a very beautiful slime tour that Claxer taunted me with horribly earlier today.
It will go up. There will be a very interesting gallery at some point in time.
Soon, hopefully, because it's really cool. But Claxer will die.
Hey, it was my idea!
Okay, then I will kill you with Claxer's skull afterwards.
Yeah, I'm the one who progressed it beyond just taking pictures of booth babes. I'm like, wait a minute, we could have some real fun with this.
Yeah, it's a really awesome idea. I did not have the problem with the idea. The problem is him showing it to me so soon. But I have not gotten a slime yet.
I still thought the best part was we set the slimes up on one of the things, and we okayed it with one of the staff for that booth, and the other staff is looking at like, you guys on crack? What the hell are you doing? And he's just looking like, why? 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 And then they're gone. He's like, okay. Didn't follow at all. He's just like, oh, okay.
Yes, okay. And the slime family visiting the giant Katamari.
We should have got a bigger picture so we'd seen the whole Katamari and like, find the slimes.
Do that tomorrow.
Stick this slime to the
Katamari. We have to find another Namco person to let us play with their Katamari.
It shouldn't be hard.
I don't know. They were like, you're doing what?
It's pictures of their Katamari that will go up on news sites.
Yeah,
how can they not be happy?
Other people can take pictures of their Katamari without playing with it first. Apparently we're unique.
Oh.
Except for Zach, who stuck his business card in.
He did.
Yeah.
We're going through it. I'm trying to find places. He's like, look, Zach. I'm like, whoa, that's cool. I'm gonna get my business card in there.
That's awesome.
Basically, the round table's done. Now people are just listening to what we actually, like, talk about when we're here and don't actually have
it. Yeah, what do people think about this? This can't be good.
I don't see much. They're just talking about Advent Children and Sephiroth. I think they've lost attention.
They're like, oh god, they're talking now. Advent Children is cool. That trailer is cool.
I really want to see that.
I haven't seen it yet. The trailer.
We'll show it to you after this.
Yeah, I want to go do that tomorrow if we manage to get into. Oh, after this.
Yeah, see, we're all going to get in there and we're all going to basically run like crazy over a Square Enix.
Except for you, who has a BCNM.
Yeah, you're coming with, right?
That's what we're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember?
Right.
I don't care as long as I get a snipe.
Yes, we're all going to run in there, try and beat up Tengen or what?
Tenzin. The samurai. Oh.
And then we're going to run over 20 feet to the thing and try samurai, and go in and see the video.
It has a special 2-hour.
It has a very nasty special 2-hour that'll like...
We've called it Kilka.
Yeah.
Gosh.
They've gotten to the point now where if you 2 hours, they end at BCNM and say you failed. They won't let you try to re-raise and keep going. Because they know it's a lost cause at that point.
Wow.
So if you 2 hours, we lose. So I'm hoping there's some delay on a 2-hour Billy I've never seen before.
And it's going to be interesting because we won't have...
Won't have any practice.
Well, we won't have any practice. We won't have any stun.
I am stunned.
No, you won't.
I'm black mage.
There is no black mage there.
They said I got to be black mage.
There are, for the different battles, there are specific jobs that are allowed.
He said it was warrior, ninja, thief, white mage, red mage, black mage.
Okay, we've gone to the FF11.
Yeah,
oh,
I know.
Cut it before we kill all of
them. What am I supposed to do?
I think we have reached the end of our broadcast.
We'll discuss tactics later.
Cut the line.
That's true. We might accidentally give away our secrets.
Wait,
right.
I would have to be easier when you're...
Okay. Anyway, end this.
Have we cut the line yet?
Okay, I guess we're done.
This is the end.
Yes, we are done. We are well past done.
We had Michael Tidwell, Courtney Stone, Philip Bloom.
Ed Walker.
I couldn't remember your last name. And I was your MC, Elliot Geisinger, and this is Arfy Gamer signing off.
How could you not remember Walker?
Did you sign off yet?